and Carson Wentz facing off for the first time. Remember, it was Nick Foles in that Super Bowl 52.
Oh, yeah.
After a flat first half, second half saw this. Brady to Julian Edelman. Edelman to Philip Dorsett. Dorsett for the touchdown. 15 yards. They needed some trickery, but they got it. 17-10 Pats, just over a minute left in the game. It was 4th and 10, Patriots territory. Carson Wentz looking for Nelson Aguilar, but he drops the crucial pass. So one last chance for the Eagles. Wentz is just going to heave it, launches the Hail Mary. It will drop incomplete. Patriots hold on to clinch their 19th straight winning season. This wasn't an easy win for them, but it was still a win. It was such a frustrating game for the fans to watch. You can only imagine how it must have been for Tom Brady. Could not get anything going. How good are the Patriots, Nick?
The Patriots defense continues to be the single best unit in football. Better than the Lamar Jackson-led Ravens offense, better than the Niners defense, better than the Chiefs with a healthy Patrick Mahomes offense. The Patriots defense is the single best unit in football and showed it again yesterday. After there were some questions approaching, well, they were so unbelievable through 8 weeks, but then they played a real quarterback in Lamar. The Ravens were so successful. Is this defense just really good, or is it one of the best defenses we've seen in the last decade? No, it's the latter, not the former. They allowed one sustained drive, that 95-yard drive, which was something like the longest drive the Patriots have allowed in almost a decade, just cartoonish numbers, like the 19 straight winning seasons.
Right.
Nobody in football has a streak longer than 7, except for the Patriots, who are at 19. The defense is as good as advertised, and it has to be, because the reason Brady is so frustrated is because he knew going into this game the offense had to get it going. They had one touchdown in the game, and it was thrown. It was also the best ball thrown all game, and it was by the wide receiver out of Kansas State.
It wasn't even by Brady.
It was ruled a turnover initially.
Right. It's unbelievable that it's not unbelievable. Pardon me. It's understandable is what I meant to say, that Brady would be frustrated because he knows the win is what matters more than anything. He also knows this offense is going to have to kick it into gear come the postseason, and that if they don't kick it in gear over the next 3 weeks, they might actually have to play a road postseason game because the Ravens keep nipping at their heels. So the defense, a triple plus again. Mm-hmm. Offense, a lot what it's looked like to me all year long.
Yeah, the offense is a work in progress, and they're expecting to get some guys back. N'Keal Harry was actually on the field, so we got a chance to look at their first-round pick this year with Mohamed Sanu and Julian Edelman. I think that they will figure things out as this goes along, but the thing that saved the Patriots throughout the course of this season is that their defense is keeping games close. And they're making enough plays. And you saw it at the end of the first half in that game. Now, the defense didn't start great. They gave up the DPI by Jason McCourty, which ended up leading to a field goal. And then on the next drive, it was a big screen pass to Dallas Goedert. And then Dallas Goedert on the touchdown, which was initially ruled a turnover.
Yeah.
But the fact is they actually scored. But, I mean, the Patriots went down by double digits. And that was the last time that the Eagles scored any points in that ball game. So their defense gave that offense an opportunity to figure it out. And then if you look at the end of half, end of game, they're very few teams that are as good as the Patriots, because you looked at what happened. Their second red zone possession, Rodney McLeod misses an opportunity to get an interception. The Patriots put a field goal on the board. Then they come back and they get the strip sack, and then they put another field goal on the board. You're talking about a situation where it could have been 13-6 at halftime. Instead, ends up being 10-9, and then the Patriots come out and march down the field on that first possession, score a touchdown, and that was all that you saw from the game. So when you look at situational football, because the Patriots are so good and they play complementary in that regard, they're going to be a tough team to beat, even though the offense hasn't figured things out.
But this offense feels like it's piecemealing itself together week by week. Like over the course of the game, it's just constantly sputtering to get itself to the end of the game. And my gosh, you look at Tom Brady and you know he's the greatest player of all time. You don't see any part of that. You see balls he's throwing away. He's got no time to do anything.
Because he's not very good right now.
Well, that's my question. Is he not very good right now?
No. Clearly and obviously, it is no longer a small sample size, and maybe come the postseason, Brady will find a way, as the all-time greats sometimes do, Kareem, late in his career, when he was no longer six-time MVP Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, still the Lakers in a do-or-die game in the NBA Finals ran the final play of the game for him. He got fouled. Pistons stayed, didn't, and hit the two free throws. You can to help win a championship. Sometimes all-time greats, even when they're cooked, can channel all-time great moments for moments in the postseason. But over the course of a game in the regular season, over the course of a regular season, Tom Brady is a below-average NFL quarterback right now. Those are just, we got 10 games a sample. I don't know what more people need to see. We haven't done one of these in a while. Okay, let's do a blind reveal real quick. The left is Tom Brady. The right-hand side, the guy who hasn't beat in everything but completion percentage, and it's just barely below in completion percentage. Who is it? Let me see. Oh, it's Gardner Minshew. Who the Jags could not wait to get Nick Foles back to take that job away from. Right now, Tom Brady has the 22nd best passer rating in football. That's by Marcus Mariota. He has 14 touchdown passes. That's behind Daniel Jones. He's 6.8 yards per attempt. That is 26th in football. That's behind Josh Allen. And his completion percentage is behind the benched Joe Flacco. Two of those quarterbacks have been benched. Two of those quarterbacks are young guys who are in their first or second year and figuring things out. Like, it's a great win for the Patriots yesterday, Canty. I picked them to lose, right? So I thought they would lose because I thought they would struggle to break 20 points. Their defense once again rose to the task and was spectacular, so credit to them for that. But I don't think N'Keal Harry or Isaiah Wynn are, and I'm not saying you're saying this,
and
are going, Wynn didn't play, but
N'Keal Harry did.
But N'Keal Harry came back, Wynn will come back. I don't think those guys are going to turn around what has been the worst year we've seen from Tom Brady. It's now approaching ever, certainly in the last 15 years.
Well, here's the problem with the Patriots offense. There is no explosive down the field threat for that team. The explosion that they're looking for from the skill position core is coming from their running backs out of the backfield, and so that's just not enough. You saw them yesterday utilize a lot of screen passes just because they don't have anybody that can be that game breaker in terms of making somebody miss in open spaces. So that's something that's going to be a work in progress. I don't know if they're going to develop that kind of threat, but I think that this offense is trying to find its identity. And within that, it has to be a big part, the run game and being able to control the line of scrimmage. That's why I think people are making such a big deal about Isaiah Wynn potentially coming back, because he's going to make that offensive line better.
But when you call this offense a work in progress, or they got to figure it out, or they need to find their identity, when? I mean, we're week 10, week 11. Well, they're not getting anything new except maybe another left tackle. I don't know when this is supposed to happen, that they're suddenly going to flip a switch and we're going to see vintage Patriots offense
again. I mean, we saw this last year when they morphed into an offense
that
had...
Not this bad.
No, it wasn't this bad, not to this degree, but we saw this last year, and at the end of November, early December, they started figuring it out in terms of having a two-back set with a tight end in place, and they were running the football with old-school runs, power schemes, gap blocking. I just think that the Patriots, they'll find a way to be able to adjust, because they always do. And so I'm not giving them a lifetime achievement award. I'm just basing what I think will happen off of what we've seen Bill Belichick do for 19 straight years. So I look at this Patriots team. They did what they needed to do coming off of a bye, keeping pace with the Baltimore Ravens to keep that top overall seed in the AFC. And that defense, because they're so good, they're giving that offense an opportunity to figure it out.
2 years ago, Tom Brady won the league MVP. It was shocking to me. It was a guy's 40 years old, won the league MVP. Last year, the team had their worst record they had had in a decade, and he had his worst season they have had in a decade. This year, he is worse across the board. And you can be the greatest of all time and not still be the greatest of this time. And that is where we're at with Brady. And the problem is, last year they got by with the running game, and with Brady, okay, so he wasn't the greatest quarterback in football. He was like eighth or ninth. This year, he's statistically 18th or 19th, and that defense is going to have to be like 0-2 Bucks, 2000 Ravens, if he doesn't tick it up come the postseason.
All right, so let's talk about the team that they beat, the Philadelphia Eagles. Mm-hmm. I almost wonder, you know, could the Eagles have won that game and taken more advantage of what the Patriots weren't giving you on offense? Their defense played great. Where do you place the blame for this Philadelphia Eagles team?
Well, anytime you have a team as talented as the Eagles but inconsistent, you have to look at coaching. So Doug Peterson is at the forefront of any criticism that I would have for the Eagles. There were a couple of game management issues that came up, like they had a possession right before halftime where they have second and two on the cusp of field goal range, and then they take two sacks. I think one was because of a bad sack. sack.
Killer.
Exactly, which is a killer. I mean, that's an opportunity.
And the possession before they
get that's an opportunity to put 3 points on the board. But then the possession before that, you had a strip sack, and then Lawrence Guy recovers the fumble. So those two plays at the end of the fourth quarter, you had a situation where you don't field the punt, right, and you allow 5 seconds to run off of the clock. That's overall game management. You don't get a playoff before the two-minute warning. Inexcusable. So all of those things, to me, point to the head coach not having an attention to detail that his team needs in order to compete, especially with the better teams in the NFL.
And right now, I can't believe I'm saying it, but right now the Dak Wentz debate, which to me at the beginning of the year was not a debate because Carson Wentz was so far ahead, now is not a debate because right now you got one quarterback in the NFC East that looks like a top seven, top eight quarterback in football at least. Another quarterback who is playing the worst football he's played since his rookie season by a wide margin. I understand they have no wide receiver speed, and I understand that Lane Johnson went out and they were up 10-0 when Lane Johnson was in. He goes out, they don't score again. We know his pass rating drops 20 points with Lane Johnson not on the field. But come on, I also get that pass to Aguilar was an excellent pass.
Yeah,
he actually delivered that one.
That was a great ball.
But over the course of the season, he's 27th in completion percentage and 31st in yards per attempt. Like, Carson Wentz, we can put it on the complimenting pieces, but he got paid this offseason like he's the quarterback that I've been saying he is, which is a future superstar, a guy who will duplicate his near MVP campaign he had a couple years ago before he got hurt, and he's been nothing close to it. And we overestimated their talent, Jenna, and so they don't have enough outlying talent to overcome their quarterback playing the worst football he's played in 3 years.
And now the Philadelphia Eagles are looking up at the Dallas Cowboys in the NFC East as a result of that loss. Well, last night, James Harden feasted on the Trailblazers, dropped 36 points to lead the Rockets to their eighth straight win. Nights like these are becoming standard fare for the Beard, almost to the point where we're no longer impressed. But Harden's teammate, Russell Westbrook, was and is and continues to be very impressed.
Amazing. I think that a lot of people like to normalize greatness when you see it over and over again, but it's not normal because there's nobody else that could do it. If it was normal, everybody would do it. And he's put himself in position to be able to be one of the best offensive scorers of all time because of the way he's able to score the ball at a high level in a variety of different ways. So. It's amazing. I'm just here to be able to help him along the way.
Nice to hear from Russ. Nick, has James Harden become underrated?
Absolutely. And Russ's comments were spot on. If it were easy, everyone would do it. Oh, anyone, if they took that number of shots and got that number of free throws, could do. Okay, then someone should go out and do it. they really should, because for James Harden, what it's led to is a league MVP, 3 runner-up finishes. If you add the Adidas money, right around his current contract, press contract, Adidas money, $500 million in career earnings, and a scoring profile that is going to be matched in NBA history only by Wilt Chamberlain. That is the rarefied air in which he is breathing right now. Harden's last, he's had a slow start to the season. I think he had 29 and 19 first two games. That since then, here's all he's done. 40, 59, 36, 29, 44, 36, 42, 39, 47, 44, 49, and last night a slow night. 36 points per game. And by the way, the Rockets have the second best record in the Western Conference. And by the way, we didn't include assists because it'd be too much numbers. He's top 10 in the NBA in assists and top 5 in true shooting percentage. So he's doing it efficiently. Greg, we've never seen a perimeter player score at this volume in the history of the league. And the only player we've seen score at this volume in the history of the league at any position is a guy who they had to rewrite the record books for, Wilt Chamberlain. And here's why I think he's become underrated. He could average 40 a game this year. And no one, I'm not hearing anyone discuss him as the best player in basketball. People say LeBron still, Giannis. Some folks were erroneously saying Kawhi. Last week, I had a big argument. Is Harden better than Kawhi? It was considered a hot take that Harden's better than Kawhi. Harden been doing this for half a decade. Last year averaged 36. This year looks like he's going to do it again and then some. That to me is the definition of an underrated player.
I wouldn't go as far as saying he's been underrated or he is underrated. He's definitely being underappreciated. And if you listen to what Russell Westbrook is saying, we become so enamored with what is his norm. And so James Harden's norm is now averaging almost 40 points a game, putting up 40 points a night. And so the kicker is, if guys in this league could do it, which other guys could do it, but would it equate to winning? And this is what's beneficial for the Houston Rockets, that James Harden produces numbers like this so that his team can win. And I don't think viewers or fans really understand that aspect of things. He's not only doing it because he has to, he's doing it because this is being what's asked of him so that his team could have success and be in contention in the latter parts of the season. So I love what James Harden has done. I think it becomes underappreciated because we start to see it night in and night out, the same way Russell Westbrook has been averaging a triple-double for the last 3 years. Exactly. We get numb to it and it becomes the norm. And it's like, he did that last night.
But does it take too much out of him when you get to the end of the season? Last year we talked about, we asked all season, is this sustainable? It turns out it was sustainable for him. Remember, he went on that insane stretch. It seems like he's doing it now. And I know he has Russ next to him. But doesn't this take away from whatever he has left in the postseason when he does this every night?
It might. And last year, obviously, the end of their season was an enormous disappointment to everyone involved in the organization. But last season, if he hadn't done it, they were 14th in the Western Conference, fifth of the way through the year. If he hadn't done it, they wouldn't have gotten to the end of the season. James Harden is doing it because it is what his team requires to be in the position they need to be in at the end of the postseason. Now, the ultimate knock on Harden is, you can't win playing this style of basketball. They haven't won a championship playing this style of basketball, but I would like to remind the audience, the first 2 years Kevin Durant was in Golden State before year three when they were decimated by injury, they beat everyone they played in 5 games or less in the playoffs. Not only were the Rockets up 3-2 against them because of Harden before Chris Paul went down with the hamstring injury, in game 7, they were up 15 points. And at that moment, overwhelming favorites to win the NBA title, and then they missed 27 straight threes. Those were not all Harden. That's just unbelievable bad shooting luck. That's the only reason they haven't won a title this way. It's the only reason. They would have, with respect to LeBron, that was LeBron and the four-piece-of-paper Cavs team, they were not going to be able to handle those Rockets. So, yes, you can win a title like this. They just haven't won a title like this. And, Greg, if they do win a title at any point with Harden, then he all of a sudden starts to be discussed like Wilt Chamberlain, like one of the 20 greatest players of all time who maybe didn't win as much as people thought he would, but got the ring to go along with the unimpeachable regular season statistical resume.
Jenna, you say, is this sustainable in the playoffs? And the reason why I think that it is because when you've trained to do something and you are now doing it over the course of a season, you have built up your body to endure what he's taking on. Another note, he takes the most free throws in all of the National Basketball Association, which affords him the opportunity to rest.
And he shoots it.
And he shoots it at a high percentage. Yep. He's knocked down in 13 odd games, 68 three-point shots. His ability to not only get to the rack, but also rely and take that pressure off his body, that physical toll off his body, because of his ability to shoot the long jump shot, is paramount to why he's going to be able to sustain this level of ability.
Look, it's okay with Russ now. Let's see if Russ is totally fine with it and singing the same song in a couple months. Here, First Things First, now joined by Fox Sports NBA analyst Sarah Kusta. Good morning,
Sarah. What's going on, guys? Good to see you. How's everything? Craig, Jenna?
It's great to see you. You've been all over my Instagram feed, Sarah. You've been a very, very busy, successful.
I hope in a good way.
In a fantastic way.
Try not to inundate people on social media.
No, it's been
I don't see you on Instagram because I'm on Instagram, but you've been all over my League Pass feed, and you guys are doing a great job.
Thanks. Thanks. We're
you guys
trying.
Are really doing a great We're job. Trying. It's a heck of a broadcast. You got to talk to him about the court. It's all great.
You're not into it? The new look?
It's weird. Everything about the broadcast, the game presentation's great. And then court, I'm like, is my TVs? Look at that nice, bright.
It's super
yellow
dark.
Court.
I have no say in that.
Okay. All right.
They don't really
want
to hear my opinion. But when they do,
sorry.
When they
do,
Sarah will be right there. All right, guys. Last check. It was November 21st. Seemingly far too soon to predict an NBA MVP. Unless your pool to choose from includes LeBron James. LeBron has been spectacular in year 17, 25 points per game, leading the league in assists. The King has been so good, he's got Magic Johnson tweeting, and Magic Johnson rarely tweets. Magic wrote, if he continues at this pace, he will definitely be the league MVP this season. No one is playing better than him. And what's scary is his story is still being written. All right, Sarah, is Magic right? LeBron, the MVP right now as we sit here today?
I believe he is. I believe he is. I think that Giannis has been having a monster start to the season. He is certainly in the conversation, but I think at this point what LeBron has helped the Lakers to do, how well they've been playing, I never would have anticipated, despite the fact that their schedule is favorable to start the season, that they would have had to start and come together so quickly with all the pieces. I also think the numbers for LeBron are, of course, very impressive. What he's helped Anthony Davis become, the way in which he's continued to, just by the eye test, get to that next level defensively of what we used to see in years past. I think that if you're looking at the situation saying, who do I want to have the ball at the end of the game? I want it LeBron James' hands.
Well, and you mentioned what he's helping Anthony Davis do. A totally revamped coaching staff.
Yeah.
A totally revamped roster. The guys who are on this team that predate LeBron James, I think the full list is KCP and Kuzma. I think that's this is a new team.
Yeah.
And I know Laker fans last year, so we were still a little squeamish on LeBron, like, you're not going to break up our young core. You're not going to do what you need. No, he's going to do all of it.
Yeah.
And he's going to bring in another great player. And then all of a sudden, the team, what has been shocking to me is I thought they'd be really good defensively. I did not think they could be. Well, because I thought
Anthony Davis,
and when they made it clear they wanted to play another center, to play Anthony Davis and a big guy, I thought it would hurt them demonstrably on the offensive end, but they would have so much length that I thought defensively they could be a really good team. But I did not think they could be the number one defense in basketball, and that's what they are. And if you are a top five defense in basketball and you have Anthony Davis to go along with the highest IQ offensive player in league history in LeBron James, you're going to be at worst a top eight offense, and they right now right outside the top 10, but that's going to tick up. Right now, if it's valuable, of course he's the most valuable player in basketball. If it's outstanding, there's two other guys in the conversation, Giannis and Luka.
Yes.
And Luka, and with Luka, his team's winning as well. I mean, they're 9-5, and he will rewrite the record books that LeBron James rewrote. Yep. Yep. As far as youngest to do this, youngest to do that. LeBron has all those records. Luka's coming for him. But right now, I thought what you said at the end is maybe the most important. It's not just at the end of the game. For once again, if you were to ask all 30 GMs, and they had to be honest and it was anonymous, for this season, you can have any player in the league on your team. Who's the one you would take from another team? All 30 GMs, all 29, seven Lakers, they already have him, would say LeBron. And that is the definition of valuable or outstanding, depending on how you want to look at it.
I agree, and I agree with everything Magic Johnson is saying. LeBron James has been lights out, not just offensively. And I know we're talking about their team defense, but the fact that LeBron has decided and made a conscious effort to put in the work and the effort on the defensive end, that has made them really special, because now he's playing the passing lanes. He's actually getting up in the defender's face instead of lagging in the paint and just letting his defender be the one that, okay, you beat us if your team's gonna win. He has not decided to do that, and that will propel you on the other end of the ball. And so when you talk about let's talk about last year, like LeBron James and his success early with the Lakers, and then he gets hurt, and then they don't make the playoffs, and he hears all these talks of Kawhi Leonard being better, mm-hmm. James Harden being better. He's not even in the conversation of best player in the league anymore. Kevin Durant before he goes down.
Giannis.
Like, all the as players, as a competitor, when you've always been on top, you take that and you fuel yourself with that and you come out like this. And who better to do it than LeBron James?
And here's the thing. I just got back from a West Coast trip and get a chance to talk to a handful of, whether it's scouts, whether it's some front office people, and you just pick their brains about things happening out there. And the thing that I think a lot of people don't realize, the nuances of the game that LeBron has brought to the table for as long as he's been around. He understands time, score, course of the game. When do I need to run a pick and roll and get Dwight involved? When do I need to make sure Kuz gets a wide open three from the corner to get going? This guy hasn't touched the ball in a while. So when I'm coming to facilitate the offense, I'm going to make sure to get him involved. We need some buckets. I'm just going to keep it myself. He has such an extraordinary feel for the game. And because of that, when you bring up the new parts, the new pieces, the new coaching staff,
right,
that's why they've had so much early season success, because of his gauge on exactly what a team needs when.
If LeBron can keep doing this, keep up this play for the rest of the season, win the MVP in year 17, what would something like that do for his legacy, Nick?
Well, you guys know I obviously believe he's the greatest player of all time.
Right
now, I would say 20% of the public's with me on that, maybe a little less. It's a minority opinion for sure. You're not part of it. Greg's not part of it. I think everyone has him in the top three at worst at this point. But MVP in year 17, because think about the other things that are going to go along with that this year. He is going to pass Kobe for points this season and move into third on the all-time list. He's going to pass an assist this season, Gary Payton, the original Isaiah Thomas, and Chris Paul, and move into seventh on that list. He's going to break a tie with Kareem, Tim Duncan, and Kobe for most All-NBA teams at 15. He will move to 16. He already has the record for most All-NBA first teams. He will further that record, and he will become only the fourth player ever with five or more MVPs. Right now, it's Kareem with six, Bill Russell and Michael Jordan with five. And so all of that, plus, if I'm going to tease a little bit further, an MVP and a championship, it won't be a minority opinion anymore. I believe it's already undeniable. Folks say six for six, and I think Kareem gets shorted in this discussion. I don't think it should be a two-person discussion. I think it should be three. But LeBron's numbers and the year 17 part of this, we've only had one guy ever average more than 23 points per game in year 17. It was Kobe on a mediocre Laker team near the tail end. And Kobe had a really good year that year, and the team was okay but not great. LeBron, if he is still, nobody's ever been close to the best player in basketball in year 17, even coming close to the MVP, much less winning it, it further solidifies that what the eye test tells you.
And
that guy's the best guy to
ever
do it.
How many minutes has he, it's not just year 17.
Oh, yeah.
The amount
sixth
of
most minutes in NBA history already.
Right. Don't count Melo out, because he could have a good...
Oh, why are you shading Melo?
The only thing, he may split some votes with Anthony Davis.
I love it.
All right, on to the Dallas Cowboys, coming off a win over Detroit last week. Dak Prescott walked away with the credit for that win, 444 passing yards, while Ezekiel Elliott once again took second fiddle. Hey, Dak is first in the NFL in passing yards. Zeke is eighth in rushing yards. Yesterday, an undisputed Hall of Fame running back, LaDainian Tomlinson, was asked what he thought about Zeke's lack of production.
Anytime you have a young quarterback, you got a young offense coordinator, you're going to want to try to uplift that young quarterback to be in the MVP race, right?
Okay.
And so naturally, you're not going to run the ball as much as you used to. You want to use all those weapons. They have massive weapons at the wide receiver position. Gallup has stepped up. Randall Cobb has stepped up. I love their receiving core.
That's a hot take right there. Nick, you worried Zeke doesn't get back on track this season, back to Zeke standards?
No. Such prisoners of the moment. Zeke, as of, take away the last two games, his three games prior, he had 355 yards rushing and was averaging 5 yards per carry. Like, he's had a bad 2 weeks. And evidently you're not allowed that in the NFL anymore. Like, bad 2 weeks, he's washed, he's cooked, forget about it. And it should be noted, I believe, part of Dak's success this season is defenses are still, now maybe they'll adjust because Dak's played at such a high level. They are still worried about stopping 21 first and foremost, which is opening things up for Dak. Yeah. And because Dak has played at such a high level and the passing game's been so effective, I wonder if teams now are going to have to start to adjust the other way, remove one of those defenders from the box to start giving help on the outside on either Cooper or Gallup, help on the inside to Cobb. And then you'll see Zeke eaten again. I don't think Zeke all of a sudden, between the middle of October and Halloween, lost his ability. I just think he's had a bad two football games that right now we want to assign it as, oh, is he not worth the money? Is he over the hill at year four? When everything we had seen from Zeke prior to two games ago yelled, he's one of the three best people in the world at what he does.
Yeah, I'm with you. He'll get right back to where we've seen him in years prior and in years past. What I don't like, and I respect LaDainian Tomlinson, I don't agree with at all that Kellen Moore and this staff is trying to promote Dak Prescott to MVP status. No. What they're doing is utilizing what has been working. But defenses, to your point, their number one responsibility in all of football is to stop the run. When you get into a defensive unit meeting and you hear a defensive coordinator start their conversation, men, we got to stop the run. We are going to make them one-dimensional. And what the Cowboys have always been able to do is run the football. And so it's going to be a challenge from night in to night out, from Sunday to Sunday, every time Ezekiel Elliott is in that backfield to run the ball. But when you look at last year through 10 games, he had 194 attempts.
Bless you.
He had 191 attempts, 953 yards. This year, 194 attempts, 833 yards, 7 touchdowns. So he's right where he was last year, and he rushed for 1,400 yards. He'll
coming
be okay.
Into the season, it was probably always, oh, let's let Dak beat us. Well, Dak's starting to beat you now, and now so you're going to have to give him a little bit.
Exactly.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.